Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
States have had anti-bullying laws since 1999. But some versions are being urged by civil rights groups such as the Anti-Defamation League and gay organizations such as the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, or GLSEN, to spell out special protections for the quote-unquote gay community. Now, some anti-bullying proponents question whether the overemphasis on gender, you know, overshadow the very real problems of violence by and against youth. Teasing and bullying aren't an issue in our community. Youth killing and maiming others, youth is, said Ron Moten. He's a co-founder of the anti-youth violence group Peaceaholics. The new movement is not about children, it's about politics. And that's what he's saying about the efforts of homosexual groups. Now, Mr. Moten's not the only one that has problems. He also said that schools cannot police everything a kid says. So he's saying that schools cannot watch kids 24 hours a day, which we totally agree. In 1999, Georgia became the first state to adopt an anti-bullying law. It would be joined by Georgia, Missouri, California, Washington, D.C., and 42 other states. Pennsylvania's anti-bullying law, which passed in 2007, requires that all schools have a bullying program in place. There is no doubt that bullying has always been a problem in our schools, and it may be more intense now because of the new technology, which gives additional opportunities to bully. But are these new laws necessary, or some of those pushing the hardest for these laws have an ulterior motive? My guest today is Laurie Higgins. She's the director of the Illinois Family Institute's Division of School Advocacy. And I'm going to throw in there that the Illinois Family Institute is an AFA affiliate. Thanks, Laurie, for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Diane.
In cold Chicago. Cold, snowy Chicago.
Yes, very cold. Good day to do an interview.
Yeah. Now, Washington, D.C. is currently looking at another bullying measure that proposes faculty training programs and places special emphasis on gender-related characteristics, you know, like gender, sexual orientation, gender expressions, gender identity, all those things. When you look at bullying programs and when you have an enumerated list, which homosexual groups are, of course, pushing those enumerating lists to include sexual orientation, gender identity, what problems do those lists pose?
Well, there are enormous problems with enumerated anti-bullying laws. We just passed one in Illinois. It hasn't been implemented yet, but it will shortly. And actually, it was interesting. They had part of that, they had to have a 15-member task force. And when you look at the composition of the 15-member task force, you'll see a disproportionate number of homosexuals on it, and including three teenagers, two of whom have blogs and have identified their pro-homosexual leanings. So I'm sure their recommendations will be problematic. But there's so many problems with the enumerated anti-bullying, the first of which is that they include the terms gender identity and gender expression, which there's actually a correct technical term for that, which is gender identity disorder. It's still listed in the DSM. We should be demanding that if it's in anti-bullying policy, which it shouldn't be because we shouldn't be enumerating that, people should insist that they use gender identity disorder. And once you use that term, it raises the question, why don't we have other disorders that have behaviors for which kids may be bullied? For instance, attention deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, Asperger's syndrome, which falls on the autism spectrum. All of these conditions, these disorders, have behaviors that result in children being bullied. So in most of these anti-bullying lists, they will include these enumerated conditions, and they'll say it's non-exhaustive, meaning, of course, there's other conditions for which kids might be bullied that aren't in this list. But the question remains, then why these?
Mm-hmm. Why include those?
It's political. Yeah. I mean, when our anti-bullying law was signed into law by Governor Quinn last year, it was signed into law on the Sunday morning of the Chicago Gay Pride Parade.
That was only coincidental, Laurie. You're reading the lines.
Yes. Well, it gets even more coincidental because it was on that morning. It was signed at a ceremony at an elementary school that has marched for the past 2 years in the Gay Pride Parade, and that school happens to be located in a homosexual neighborhood called Boys Town.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the symbolism of that ceremony, you know this policy is primarily about normalizing homosexuality and gender identity disorder.
Now, let me back up real quick. You mentioned DSM. Could you let our listeners know what the DSM is?
Oh, it's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that is used by psychologists to determine whether something is a disorder and what the disorder is and what its symptoms are and what the treatment protocols are. And in 1973, due to political bullying, the homosexuality was removed from the DSM, but gender identity disorder, which is gender confusion, someone believing that they are the opposite sex trapped in the wrong body, that is a disorder. It's still in the DSM, and now public schools are trying to teach other people's children that this is not a disorder. They don't say that specifically by using euphemisms for it,
right,
and by having efforts to normalize it. They want to undermine the conviction or weaken the conviction, mm-hmm, that this is a disorder. Instead say this is a normal phenomenon. Right. People are actually trapped in the wrong body.
For schools to have that on a list, gender identity on a list, such as in many of these anti-bullying laws, that in itself confuses kids, and that in itself gives the kids the wrong message. It gives the kids that this is okay. And increasingly we see, or at least I see, stories of kids, like a little boy who believes he's a girl. And, of course, the parents take him to a psychologist, and sometimes they are encouraged to allow him to dress as a girl or whatever. But we see that little kids, 5, 6, 7 years old, they're being permitted to act out their fantasy, so to speak, of being the opposite sex.
It is a disorder. It's a serious disorder. It's difficult to treat. And treatment protocol shouldn't include affirming it. It shouldn't include allowing him to dress in dresses and go to school. There was a mother around the holidays. She was on all the morning talk shows, and she's written a picture book about her son who likes to dress in girl clothes, particularly ballerina outfits. And they had him on the program, the morning program that has Meredith Vieira. It was painful to watch,
mm-hmm,
because Meredith Vieira was asking him to stand up twice, to stand up and spin around and compliment him on his outfit. And it was painful to watch because the little boy was clearly uncomfortable. And we have no way of knowing if this is some sort of phase that he would,
right,
if not affirmed and celebrated nationally, that he might grow out of,
mm-hmm,
with treatment. Now he becomes a national figure,
oh, yeah,
almost a spokesperson for this disorder. And also, when you're in public schools and they are not calling it a disorder, it has the effect of normalizing it. If kids in public schools were taught, you can't bully children who are gender confused, who are experiencing gender identity disorder, if you would tell them that, they would recognize this as problematic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But activists, homosexual activists and transgender activists, want people to view this as a normal, natural manifestation of a real phenomenon, that someone is actually trapped in the wrong body. I mean, the whole anti-bullying effort is an effort to use legitimate anti-bullying sentiment to undermine traditional moral views about homosexual behavior and cross-dressing.
If you oppose them or voice concern about the inclusion of this enumerated list in bullying laws, they accuse us of wanting students who identify as homosexual, we want them to be bullied when we oppose this type of language in these policies. What you're saying about it being a disorder, you're mimicking what Dr. Paul McHugh of Johns Hopkins University Medical School also has said. He's a psychologist. He has counseled individuals who, they have this gender identity disorder. He counsels them. And this was before they'd have a sex change operation. He would counsel them. They'd have the sex change operation. And then he would counsel them afterwards. And he said, it is quite clear that this is a disorder and that these people need counseling, because even after their sex change operation, even after they become the sex they think they were, from birth, they still display you know, attitudes of disorder.
Right. And so I believe, didn't he stop John Hopkins
absolutely,
from,
he did.
From performing
yes.
those surgeries?
Because he says what we're doing is we are just enforcing this disorder. So Johns Hopkins did stop the sex change operations because of what Dr. McHugh said, because he said, we here in the medical field, we should not be enforcing this disorder.
Well, there's a documentary that I wrote about that came out at, I think it was Sundance Film Festival, and it's entitled Hole, W-H-O-L-E, and it's about a phenomenon, I'd written about it earlier, called Body Integrity Identity Disorder. The earlier name was apotemnophilia, and in this condition, people who suffer from this identify with amputees. They want to have a limb amputated. And some of them have been able to do that. And some of them, they were able to do it. There was a doctor in, it was either Scotland or England, who performed two of these surgeries before his hospital stopped it. Some of them actually amputate. They're so desperate for this that they amputate their own limb. Or they damage it so significantly it has to be amputated.
Now this is, they're sexually aroused by...
Some of them are sexually aroused, some of them are not. Some of them just identify with amputees.
Okay.
I mean, they want to be an amputee. They think that they want their mind to be consonant with their body.
Okay.
And so and everyone who hears about this is horrified that a treatment protocol would enable them to have a healthy limb amputated. And yet when we are amputating healthy breasts and healthy penises in the service of a disorder, people don't blink an eye. And they don't blink an eye because the other side has been so successful at propagating myths.
That's an excellent point, though. The ones who are advocating for sex reassignment, it's not sex changing, it's now sex reassignment, as if you can reassign sex.
That's right. You don't. Once your breasts are removed and you take hormones, you're still not a woman.
That's right.
I mean, not a man.
Right,
and if you have your penis removed and you take hormones and grow breasts or have, you know, implants, you haven't become a woman. It's an absurd proposition. I've said this before. My mother had breast cancer. She had a mastectomy. She wasn't half a woman after she had her breasts removed. And so this is just, find it an offensive notion that people are saying that somehow having a mastectomy renders them more a man.
Changes their sex. Yeah, that's
right.
That's crazy. Now, that enumerated list that the D.C. schools are looking at, gender, sexual orientation, gender expression, and gender identity, those are included in GLSEN's. That's the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network's 4 steps schools can take to address our anti-LGBT bullying and harassment as part of their plan. This is a quote from them. Enumeration is crucial to ensure anti-bullying policies are effective for all students. GLSEN said that on their website. It also urges faculty training to enable school staff to identify and address anti-LGBT name-calling, bullying, harassment effectively and in a timely manner. Further, it proposes establishing age-appropriate, inclusive curriculum to help students understand and respect differences within the school community and society as a whole. You know, I cannot understand why the inclusion of this list helps anyone deal with bullying. If there's bullying, deal with it, period.
Well, you had brought that up earlier, that they say if you don't have an enumerated list, then you support bullying.
Yeah.
Well, when they admit that it's not exhaustive, are they arguing, therefore, if they don't have ADD or ADHD or promiscuity? For instance, many girls who are promiscuous in high school are called sluts and hoes. No one wants them to be called that, and yet why isn't promiscuity on that list as a condition for which we don't bully? And the reason is because they know, the gay activists know, that if you put it on that list, it does more than end bullying. It goes to normalizing the behavior, eradicating the view that homosexual behavior is wrong, or silencing it at least. This is one of the fundamental questions. Virtually every condition on an enumerated list is a condition that is immutable and carries no behavioral implications that we can assess morally. So, in other words, even disabilities, race, gender, all those are conditions that have no behavioral implications. It doesn't tell us anything about how people act, and certainly nothing that we can assess morally. Sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression are the only conditions on that list, except some are trying to make the argument that religious protections are, but religion, we don't.
That falls under the first. What I always tell them is, well, that's a First
that's
Amendment
right.
right.
It's a First Amendment yeah. right, has special protections mm-hmm. in the Constitution, and we don't traditionally think of someone who follows a different tradition, religious tradition, as engaging in immoral right. action. And so they have chosen this one condition that has behavioral implications that are open to moral assessment to include on a list. The problem is we're always allowing the other side to use the analogy that they want to use, which is the analogy to race. We never say to them, how is this like race? In what way is homosexuality like race? Because if you ask them, how do you define homosexuality? It will be about feelings, and it will be about voluntary behavior.
Yeah, and who they think they are.
That's right. Yeah. So if you say, if you were just specifically to say, how do we identify whether someone is homosexual or not? It's identified by their romantic feelings or attractions mm-hmm. and their voluntary sexual behavior. So once you've established what that condition is, then you have you can find proper analogies. And the proper analogy would be to other conditions that are defined by feelings or impulses and voluntary behaviors. And that could be promiscuity, polyamory, consensual incest, any of those conditions. And so once you get the proper analogy, then it further exposes the inappropriateness of having this in here. They're trying to say it's like race, and that's why we have to have it in here. Our side has to start saying, you keep using the analogy to race. It's even used in that Department of Justice video that I think we're going to talk about.
Right, that's next one. Mm-hmm.
It's all the analogies are always to race, and it's a completely fallacious analogy, and it's the whole house of cards. Their whole house of cards is built on this fallacious analogy. I also want to say something about the age appropriateness. It is now through anti-bullying resources, programs, curricula, that homosexual resources are being introduced to elementary school children. And if that's not problematic enough, in Massachusetts and California, they have found that if homosexual resources are introduced through anti-bullying as opposed through sex ed, parents have no right to be notified and no right to opt out. And so this is coming, and it's in Illinois. The new Illinois anti-bullying law applies to elementary school also.
So you're saying that in California, Massachusetts, the state is saying if pro-homosexual, no, that's not the word they're using, LGBT curriculum is introduced under anti-bullying rather than sex ed, then the parents have no say in it.
Right. If resources that address homosexuality and gender identity disorder, which they won't call a disorder, right. if those resources are introduced through anti-bullying programs, I think it was the state of Massachusetts and the San Francisco Unified School District, or Alameda, have both found that parents have no right to opt out and no right to be notified. That's shocking. And that's shocking enough that it's robbing parents of their rights. Mm-hmm. But also, imagine this, if you have a kindergartner or a first grader, and through anti-bullying resources, they have now introduced homosexuality, an idea that most 5- and 6-year-olds have never heard about. How do you address it with your children when they come home? Because
with
as
questions.
A parent, most of us don't even talk about any sexuality
yeah.
at 5 and 6 years old. We leave it for a little bit later. So at 5 or 6, what would you say? Would you now teach your kids about heterosexual sex at 5 and 6 and then about homosexual sex? And if not, what's your choice? To approach it as men loving men? That's inappropriate
mm-hmm.
also.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very insidious to get yeah. this into elementary
it
school.
It is, but they know if they can win the younger crowd doing that, and you know this, but they know if they can win the younger crowd, then they have essentially won the battle.
Of course.
Or won the
war. And
then
they get it into high schools because it's easier
yeah.
to capture the heart and mind of a 16-year-old
right.
than a 26-year-old, and it's even easier still to capture the heart and mind of a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Now, on July 4th, the Assistant Attorney General for the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division went into a Silver Springs, Maryland high school, and he had one message. If you're gay and feel like you've been bullied, don't hesitate to call the federal government if your school does not stop the bullying. It's part of the event, which was sponsored by the school administration and the school's GSA. A videotape of mostly homosexual Civil Rights Division employees was shown, encouraging gay, quote-unquote, gay students to be proud of who they were and to contact the DOJ for help. So, why?
This is so galling to me, this effort. The video that they made was for Dan Savage, who is an obscene, hateful homosexual activist. Actually, he hails from Chicago here.
You get to claim him.
And, yes, and they has this It Gets Better campaign. But here's the problem. I watched that video twice now from the Department of Justice, and they say things like, being different is cool. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Keep being yourself. They said at the and the meeting at the Silver Spring Maryland High School, where they introduced it, they asked the students afterwards to sign the It Gets Better pledge, which reads in part, everyone deserves to be respected for who they are. Now, here's one of the problems. This is not about ending bullying. This is about affirming homosexuality. Mm-hmm. When you say, don't be ashamed of who you are, keep being yourself, this is now a moral and philosophical proposition that no one should be ashamed of homosexual behavior and impulses. That is not something that our government can make. That is not a fact that you shouldn't be ashamed of it. It's a moral assumption. And to say, have that our government officials, in their capacity as government employees, have made this video telling kids to be proud of homosexuality has nothing to do with ending bullying. People should be outraged that we have the government making moral statements on government time as government employees.
Right. Where can folks access that video?
You can just go to YouTube and do Department of Justice, It Gets Better, and the video will pop up. And you can actually, if you just do Silver Spring, Maryland, if you use those search terms, Department of Justice, they will have... You can find lots of articles that summarize what went on, and at least one of them, but there's probably more. And in fact, you can probably find It Gets Better pledge to find out the pledge that students were asked to sign. Everyone deserves to be respected for who they are. What they're referring to is they deserve to be respected for their homosexuality.
Right.
Everyone deserves to be respected for being human. But not everyone's impulses and voluntary behaviors are worthy of respect. And those views, what determines those views for people are their religious convictions. Many people have different religious convictions regarding homosexuality. Orthodox Judaism, many Protestant traditions, the Roman Catholic Church, Islam hold that homosexual behavior is not worthy of respect.
Right.
And so we have the government has no business telling kids in their official capacity that their homosexuality is worthy of respect. That's not a fact. That's a moral proposition.
Something like a dignity and respect campaign. Kids assign this pledge, which is to... For the student to say that we will show dignity and respect to people because of who they are.
Right.
In the
and
same
what
type
they
way.
Mean in this pledge is because of their homosexuality. If they said everyone deserves to be respected because they're human, despite their impulses and behaviors, this is true for all of us.
Despite their shortcomings,
That's right. I have an impulse to be impatient or selfish or greedy or ambitious. Well, I don't have that one. But I don't deserve to be respected for those impulses.
Right.
And if I act on them, if I had an impulse to be gossipy, lots of women do, and I acted on that voluntarily, I don't deserve to be respected for that impulse and that behavior. The problem is the Department of Justice is operating based on the flawed analogy to race. And in fact, at that 9-minute video that they created, they conclude with one of their officials quoting Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they do that? To continue to promote implicitly and explicitly the comparison of homosexuality to race, a deeply offensive and fallacious analogy for which they never prove. They never provide any evidence on how homosexuality is like race.
But if folks wanted to contact you, Laurie, to get more information about something that may be going on in their school, how could they do that?
IllinoisFamily.org, all spelled out, is our website. And I have a lot of information. There's an icon on the one side that says DSA. That's the Division of School Advocacy. Mm-hmm. And they can go there. There's a lot. Or we have a search box, and especially on anti-bullying laws. I wrote an article about our Illinois anti-bullying law, enumerated anti-bullying law. But it's applicable. The analysis of this law is applicable to all enumerated anti-bullying laws.
Yeah, because they're all modeled after the same
thing.
That's
right. And one thing that I am saying increasingly to my readers, at the beginning of every school year, you need to tell your school, each teacher, that under no circumstances is your student, or your child, to be exposed to any resources that address homosexuality or gender identity disorder, and you want them to get back to you in email and confirm in writing that they will honor that request, that you will homeschool your child for all anti-bullying issues.
Mm-hmm. And they need to do that in writing.
They need to do it in writing, not just have a verbal conversation
right,
with
absolutely.
Them. So it can be via an email, but the parent can have it. And if the parent, if the teacher will not do that, then I would ask for a teacher change. And if you can't find a teacher in your school who will honor that request, then you know you have a serious problem, and I would rethink at least the homeschooling for the particular classes where you can't find a teacher who will agree to that. And in elementary school, it will be their main classroom teacher. In high school, I would say the English department is often, and I hate to say that was the department I came out of, but that's one of the most problematic departments in most high schools.
I encourage parents to do that. So thanks again, Laurie, and keep us informed.
Thanks so much for having me on, Diane.
I encourage folks to go to IllinoisFamily.org.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.